This is CliffCentral.com.
The chain smokers setting fires in celebration of our new show, My Night Shift, which last night was hosted by the legendary, and I don't use that word easily. A lot of people throw it around. Everybody's a legend. Well, this guy really is. Tim Modise, who was on last night. Unbelievable.
He's what you would call a stalwart in the radio
for sure
industry, right?
Yeah, he's a veteran stalwart. Yes. All the good words you could possibly use. Tim Modise, last night on My Night Shift. And we're giving away now 200 Rand in MTN airtime all day, every hour of this week. Just tell me who Tim spoke to last night. How about that for a curveball? Because there was a picture on Instagram and on Twitter. If you listen to the show, you would know. Just give me an idea of who Tim was speaking to. Send it on the Touch Central app directly to screen, as well as your cell phone number, please, so that we can call you back if you are the winner. My Night Shift, that's hashtag My Night Shift, on the Touch Central app, and listen every night from 6 to 8 p.m. Win an additional prize of 1,000 Rand in airtime. Hashtag My Night Shift, hashtag My Touch Central. Get on social media, spread the word, tell everybody that you know. That is what you should do today. It's Friday, the weekend is here. I keep being asked for a password on my Google something or another. I don't know what it wants. I'm not sure what I don't know what my password is.
Your Google what, though?
I don't know.
Gmail, Google,
I don't know. It's very confusing to me.
How often has this happened?
That's happened the whole day yesterday. It kept popping up on my screen.
And did you keep putting in your password?
I don't even know what it is.
Oh, you don't know what the password is?
Well, I didn't know that I had one.
Have you since not been able to gain access into...
Why do I feel like I'm doing the troubleshooting? I've just called a service. Hello? What's your problem and how can I help you? I'll figure it out. I don't want to bore everybody with my problems. Oh, you know what? After cleaning up my cupboards yesterday, I feel so good.
How long did that whole thing take?
From 5:30 in the afternoon till 11:30 at night.
So that's 6 hours.
But it was immaculate. Everything is in the right place. There is not one item of clothing I will not wear, and there's nothing that's taking up space that doesn't need to be there.
And what are you doing with all the extras that you got rid of?
Charit. I put it in a big bag, and today I'm going to go and take it to there's a home up the road. For people with mental disabilities. I mean, they might even eat the clothes for all I know, but I'm going to take them anyway. You know, sandwiches, no, it's clothing. But I'm going to help. What the hell? You know, in winter, someone's going to benefit from it, I suppose. Flax, why are you shaking your head?
Because, no, that was insensitive.
What, did they eat?
Yeah, that was, take that back. Apologize.
All right, I'm sorry.
You know what I wanted to tell you guys yesterday?
Yeah.
Remember we found out that Donald Trump was going to go to the White
House? In disapproval. Yeah, tell me what happened.
And then Melania was going to stay back.
Yeah, she was going to stay in New York with Barron.
With Barron. And then we were all like, this is going to cost...
Barron's son.
No, because whenever you look at photos, he always looks like he's about to fall asleep. Like he's so uninterested in what's happening.
Well,
Michael, he's 10.
I know. That's why I don't take him to inaugurations and stuff like that. But anyway, she's going to be staying at Trump Tower with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to cost the taxpayer $1 million a day.
No.
They calculated it.
No.
With Secret Service and everything. VIP escorts and everything. $365 million a year.
No, but surely they could just move Barron to a school in Washington.
She
Come
doesn't
on.
Want that.
Well, who is... She wasn't even American a couple of months ago.
Oh, so now you are all turning on Melania. Okay.
Well, imagine if you're an American, you're paying tax. Wouldn't that drive you to drink?
Oh, I see. Because, yeah, she's going to have her own security detail and this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Even Baron's going to have his own security detail. Every single child, every single apartment, everything.
Oh, vey.
Gets their own everything.
Surely, you know, like with the Gidlitliki's, and how many kids has he got? And his wives
Who
and everything.
Knows?
We have to pay for all of that as well, don't we?
I suppose we do.
Yeah, even indirectly, we end up paying for it because they end up with government tenders and stuff for government jobs. Who knows? But I mean, in America, I'd be furious, just like I am here, about having to pay for that shit. Here are some kids speaking out against Donald Trump. Americans are angry, even the children. Listen to this. This is on Jimmy Kimmel.
We've heard a lot from a lot of people about this election so far. We've heard from pundits and surrogates and experts and anchors, but we haven't yet heard from kids. So this afternoon, we went out on the street just outside our theater to ask children to give us their thoughts on our next president, Donald J. Trump.
You know there was an election a couple of days ago, right?
Yes.
Do you know who won?
Donald Trump.
Now, how does Donald Trump make you feel?
Kind of iffy.
Iffy? Now, why is that?
I don't know. He's really rude.
How does that make you feel that Donald J. Trump is your president?
Oh, God. Not really comfortable, but I mean, it's... The world keeps moving on.
When he became president, what was the face that you made?
I made an angry face.
Let me see. You like Donald Trump? So, how would you describe Donald Trump?
Well, this writer has an idiot. Yeah.
How does that make you feel and why?
I don't really care because I'm Canadian, but I don't like him.
Now, are you worried that everybody's going to come to Canada?
Kind of, but not Snoop Dogg. I want Snoop Dogg to come.
What job do you think he should do, Donald Trump?
Well, he should clean up the whole earth.
Clean up the whole earth?
Wow. Yeah. He should be a plumber.
You think he's a plumber? Why do you think that?
Because then he gets dirty and he has to clean the toilet.
If you had to say one nice thing about him, what would you say?
Oh, well, he doesn't... He's not the ugliest person in the world.
What does he look like?
He looks weird. He does look like a dope.
A dope?
Yeah.
Do an impression of Donald Trump.
I could stand in the middle of Broadway and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters.
I'm Donald Trump, and I'm the best person in the world, and Hillary Clinton sucks.
Can you do an impression of Donald Trump?
She's a nasty woman.
She's a nasty woman.
Is that Donald Trump? Is Donald Trump going to be good?
He's going to be huge.
What do you think about Donald Trump?
Good guy.
He's a good guy?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
Now, would you want him to be your babysitter?
No.
No? Why not?
Okay. I got no.
You don't trust him?
No.
So would you want Donald Trump to be your dad?
Of course not.
Why not?
He might murder my mom.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
Kids are so awesome. I love that. That has got to be one of the best things ever. All right. You know, we give millennials a very hard time, particularly Ben.
Yeah, Ben doesn't really rate them highly.
No, I just don't think they should be classified because it's become this crutch like, oh, well, I'm a millennial. No, you're a human being. All right, well, born a certain time.
Ben, here to support your argument, the problem with millennials. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you guys have anyone on your social media, like I do, that's over the age of 40, you've probably seen them post at some point about how much our generation sucks. Well, as a millennial, I took it upon myself to try to evaluate...
And now?
What's so wrong with our generation and why they're so mad at us? And then I pretty much realized that we're just existing. We're not really contributing anything to society.
That's what she says about herself and her millennial generation. Okay.
Our generation doesn't have the basic manners that include no ma'am and yes ma'am. We don't even hold the door open for ladies, much less our elders anymore. We listen to really obscene music that degrades women and pretty much glorifies drugs and crime. We start to cuss now to prove a point. We use words like bae to describe someone we love. And we idolize people like Kim Kardashian, and then we shame people like Tim Tebow. We're lazy, we're really entitled, and we want to make a lot of money and have free education, but we're not really willing to put in the work. We spend more time online making friends and less time actually building relationships. And our relationship's appearance on Facebook is more valuable than the foundation that it's actually built on. Our idea of standing up for something we believe in means going on Facebook and posting a status with your opinion. And we believe the number of followers we have reflects who we are as a person. We don't respect our elders. We don't even respect our country. We're stepping on our flag instead of stepping up to volunteer. And we mock the men and women that are fighting for us, but we praise the people that are fighting each other, guys. We're more divided as a country than ever before.
All right, et cetera, et cetera. You get the basic idea, right?
Mm.
I don't think any of that's really 100% on the mark, but yeah, for a lot of people, they'll be going, yeah,
no,
that generation has no respect.
No, no.
Bullshit.
20-year-olds today exist in an environment that 20-year-olds 20 years ago didn't have to contend with.
Correct.
Of course they're going to be different.
And I don't think, listen, I don't have this generational hang-up. I don't have this issue. I don't even know what my generation's called. I could care less about other people in my generation.
This generation stuff is just
bullshit,
such a waste
right?
of time. It's like, we had a woman in here, some flaky woman not so long ago, talking about Generation X and Y and YXs and...
It just goes back to that whole obsession with humans to want to classify everything. We must all be put into some or other box. That's what we do.
Only doers do that, though.
What's your box? Can I taste your juice?
No. For the record, nobody is getting to taste my juice. No one.
People keep asking my buddy every
day. Well, it's mostly
day.
Spare,
it's
to be
Spare
fair.
It's Spare on the Touch Central app. Every day he's messaging us. Oh, my buddy. Oh, my buddy. Oh, my buddy.
Can I taste your juice?
It's just he's obsessed. All right, the weekend's finally here. If you've got something fun going on, you want to tell us about it, 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're getting up to. In a little while, we'll talk to the Dacha couple. Why? Because they're talking about the possibility of decriminalizing medical marijuana. Marijuana for medical purposes. Of course, I don't give a shit if they make it for recreational purposes. I've been in favor of that from day one. And look at all these American states that have suddenly, as part of this election, everybody was so focused on Trump they didn't see that a whole bunch of states in America just legalized the use of marijuana. And guess what? The devil hasn't popped up out of the ground and gone,
I finally got you.
And people haven't died in their droves, and people haven't been drunkenly driving into each other and poisoning the wells and their spines going all crooked or any of that stuff. Life just carried on. So, I don't understand how in 2016 we're still sitting around moralizing about a plant. It's almost embarrassing. In fact, it isn't almost embarrassing. It's totally embarrassing that humans are sitting around moralizing about the use of a plant. Get over yourselves, humans. And those people who still think that this is the biggest moral issue of the 21st century, I got bad news for you. It's over. Your fight is finished. You're in the minority now. And in sensible, civilized, sophisticated societies, people's personal liberties should be up to them, not up to governments. My buddy, who did you have sex with last week? Is it any of my business?
It is nobody's business unless I opt to tell you.
You probably had a lot, but...
So you submitted your sex last week. Nice.
Is it government's business?
Oh, it is absolutely not government's business who I get freaky with.
Ben, did you eat something yesterday that was bad for you?
No.
If you had, would it be government's business?
No.
Flex, have you smoked hubbly in the last 6 weeks?
2 nights ago.
Is it anybody's business?
No, government can't even tax it. I don't think there's tobacco in it anymore.
Get out of there. Right.
Yep.
If you want to wear a dress, is that anybody's business?
No. Exactly. I'll wear that dress.
God damn it.
I'll rock that Rocky.
Right.
What's it, Rocky?
Rocky. There we go. The point is, like, it's the same people who've always wanted to tell you what to do and tell you where to go and tell you what to think that want to also control what you do with your meat. Your meat belongs to you. This meat vehicle that you have, that you're using to traverse the universe, it's your business whether you keep it healthy, like Lance Armstrong, that liar, or if you want to keep it unhealthy, or if you want to do something in between, like you occasionally imbibe in some alcohol. Not government. Aaron Motsoaledi's business is not my body. I don't want him. I didn't ask you to protect me from myself. Thank you very much. So if I feel like smoking, drinking, gambling, or non-stop rampant sex like Mabali, that is none of your business. Health department, government, church, whoever else you are thinks you could tell me what to do with my time and my body. We'll find out from the Dacha couple if they agree with me or if they think that all of this stuff should be regulated, controlled, restricted, governed by laws. And I want to know what you think. 0861-555-189. Give me a call. Tell me what's in your mind this morning. It's Friday. We're having a whole lot of fun, but there are also some things that we need to discuss. You know, some stuff we need to get off our chests. If you're feeling like that at the moment, call me. Let's have it out. Maybe you just need to vent. You just vent. I'll just shut up and listen. 22 minutes after 8. All right. Selena Gomez singing about something ridiculous and impossible. You can't kill someone with kindness. Peshitta was just saying she thinks it's the most ridiculous thing she's ever heard.
Yeah,
right, Peshitta?
Yeah.
So right.
Stupid, huh?
I've never seen a headline say someone died because you were too kind to them.
Yeah, you never see that in the newspaper, correct? It's a stupid line.
You can kill someone with a pillow.
Yes, or with an axe.
Yeah.
Or with a knife.
Guns.
A knife.
Guns are good.
I'm still on the axe.
Okay, your preference, that's
well,
fine.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about our friend Henry Van Breda.
Oh.
You know? Anyway, it is a Friday, so everybody's going to be nice and happy and positive and full of love and peace and all those things today, right? That's the goal, just for today. You can go back to being a douchebag on Monday.
Oh.
If you want to, if that's your thing. All right, Flax, why don't we get the Dacha couple in here and talk to them? Yeah?
One more surprise.
Surprise!
Okay, here's the surprise. You get to have another 200 Rand in airtime if you message from the Touch Central app right now and tell us the name of one of the presenters of My Night Shift. All right? Straight off the Touch Central app, just send it up to us right now and we will check on that, find a winner, and announce the winner's name in just a second or two. Hello, Dacha couple. Look, they're here, mubs. Hey, you two, take some seats here and make yourselves comfortable. It's Julian Stubbs, Myrtle Clark. They are the Dacha couple. They have been tirelessly campaigning. Tirelessly. They're not exhausted. They should be, but they're not exhausted. And they're here today to talk about what might happen in terms of medicinal marijuana being made, decriminalized, being made legal for use in certain places. And we're going to just check out what those parameters are, because they're always parameters with this stuff. They always have to be controls, because, you know, God forbid people should be able to decide for themselves. So let's talk to the... Oh, they just gave each other a kiss. What a sweet thing to see.
And
isn't that nice?
And they're holding hands.
And they're holding hands. They still love each other after all these years. Isn't that nice, huh? Isn't that lovely? That's so sweet to see. All right, here they are. Say hello to the Dacha couple, everybody. It's Julian and Myrtle. Hello, hello, hello. Let me get your microphones on here and let's talk to you two. It's been a while since we last caught up.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to find an excuse to catch up. We shouldn't have to have them. But there's possibly some positive movement going on.
It's very positive, yeah. Out of the blue, the Medical Control Council just rescheduled the cannabis plant. And nobody really expected it that quickly. And it is a seismic shift.
Oh. Right.
So where was it scheduled before?
So it's always been scheduled as Schedule 7. Which is completely and utterly no-go. This stuff is incredibly dangerous. It's more dangerous than cocaine and heroin, and you should definitely...
It was more dangerous?
Yeah, no,
more
completely. Dangerous. No medicinal value whatsoever. That's Schedule 7. It has no medicinal qualities.
What else is in Schedule 7?
All the meth cathinones.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, but cocaine, of course, has medicinal value. Yeah.
So does heroin.
So now it's
as dangerous as cocaine and heroin because it's in the same. It's only gone from 7 to 6.
Oh wow!
So in 6, we now sit. Our weed sits on the same table as cocaine and heroin.
So those progressive people at the MCC. One whole schedule.
It's
a seismic shift because all of a sudden they claim it's medicine. That's what Schedule 6 is. Schedule 7 has no medicinal value. Schedule 6. It has medicinal value.
But it's still terribly, terribly dangerous.
Yeah, no, they've taken one word out of it. One is extreme harm, that's Schedule 7, to harmful, Schedule 6. So there's the nuance, but the bottom line is it means it opens up the plant to research on human beings.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how long it's taken for the seismic shift to happen?
93 years. It is. It's about 100 years of prohibition, and not one substance out of the 1992 Act has ever been rescheduled, ever. That's what I mean by a seismic shift. Wow. We now have a dangerous...
Hold on a second. It's taken longer than Robert Mugabe's been alive?
About the same time with as many blood transfusions.
All right, so this is a very big deal. You must be pleased.
Yeah, up to a point. To put it into Schedule 6 is absolutely no use to me because I'll be arrested the minute I leave the building for having it in my body. It is a very specific act they are dealing with here, and it sounds like we could all go to the pharmacy tomorrow and pick up some medical weed, but that is a long way off.
Okay, so we're not nearly at the stage we need to be at. See, I don't want to become a campaigner for this, but it almost irritates me. No, it irritates me enough. You know, I don't smoke weed. I could care less about it for my own personal use and consumption. It's just not something I want. But I don't see how in America they just had the elections. And the story behind the elections, the story that other people aren't paying as much attention to as Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, is the number of states that have decriminalized marijuana use, either medicinal and even in some states recreational.
Completely recreational use. Yeah.
So how many states was it? It was 9 of them, I think.
There was 9 that voted, and 8 got the sort of nod for what they're wanting. And out of those 8, there were 4 states that now have complete legalization for responsible adult use.
Yeah, so I mean that's like 40 million people in California voted yes. 40 million.
And not all those people are smoking weed, so there are a lot of...
Not all those people are sick either.
And so most of the people who would have voted for this are people like me who don't really have an interest in it but don't believe that people who should be put in jail.
They're anti-prohibitionists. They understand that the system of prohibition is a crock. And we are dealing with the fight for cannabis, but we are very well aware that prohibition of all substances should fall away. It's not just the human rights of cannabis users, because even heroin users have human rights. That's a very big question. I mean, society's not really ready for it. 70% of Americans know that cannabis should be legal, but only 17% of adults in America can get their heads around the falling away of prohibition in its entirety. We've got a long way to go with that. But we get people, some detractors, telling us about our drug apartheid. We just want to talk about cannabis, but what about us? We do cocaine. We've got human rights as well. Mm. Strange argument.
Yeah, so you end up with enemies in your own camp.
All the time.
As you were driving here, we were listening to the radio and you were carrying on about positivity. And, you know, weed makes us positive because if we didn't smoke weed right now, we'd want to slit our wrists because the government are playing God. They are just going to decide if you've got Schedule 3 cancer and you're not quite nearly dead yet, then no, then you will go to jail for your weed use. But if you've got Schedule 4 cancer and there's no more hope, they can't do any more chemo on you,
then it's okay.
Sure. Then it's okay.
Bye-bye.
So we're just trying really, really hard to stay positive and see this as a step in the right direction.
Right.
But it's phew.
I was talking to my buddy about this earlier. First of all, it's just ridiculous that we should be moralizing about a plant. It's insane. It's like someone talking to a tortoise and expecting the tortoise to figure shit out. What is a bit wrong like with people?
Well, that's why it took 97 years. It's like a tortoise. It's a tortoise project. Okay. They are kicking their heels. They're dragging their heels. They really are doing things excruciatingly slow.
Who are the main groups that are so in favor of prohibition?
The rehabs the Christians. Well, I don't want to single out the Christians. I'll single out the religious groups.
Yeah,
okay?
Religious groups.
Religious groups and rehabs. Rehabs mainly because they see the bottom of the barrel and it's business. And also because they're dealing with people who have got substance use issues all the time. So they think that everybody who uses any substance has got an issue with it because that's what they're bury themselves in. And also, they won't have the courts sending them all of these poor dacha users to go for rehab because they've got such an issue with their dacha use. I mean, at the moment, in our Join the Queue legal initiative, we've got 60 active cases. And that is the tiniest, tiniest little drop in the ocean of the 1,000 arrests a day for dacha. We say this over and over again. There are 60 people on our books who are severely traumatized by this law at the moment. And now we're meant to be clapping our hands and jumping up and down because some person who's nearly dead can use the plant.
But what about these arguments that you'll hear from patches of the scientific community that will say things like dacha use can lead to, you know, various things such as early onset, well, Alzheimer's. You know, what about those
They
arguments?
Never say can. They say might or could. They've never locked it down properly.
Up to now in this country, you've never been able to experiment.
Well, that's right. That's why the seismic shift of taking it out of a schedule to research it is it's top of our list of clap your hands today. But as far as the law goes that it is embedded in, it is a very exclusive law, and they plan on setting up a clinic that would have up to 100 patients in it. And what those patients have in common is they're all terminal, and they are all the only way you're going to get this medical cannabis is if there isn't another form of treatment for your illness. So that locks it down pretty much tight.
Let's just go back to the people who are against you, openly against you. All right, so you said it's the rehabs and the Christians.
Or both.
Many Christians.
Christian-based rehabs.
Christian rehabs are the worst.
Christian rehabs, whoa.
What is the Christians' problem with dacha?
Well,
I don't remember anything in the Bible.
Because
about
you mustn't
dacha.
Change your consciousness. You must be completely sober.
High
all
on
the
life, etc.
Yeah.
Masturbating about a drug-free world, etc., etc. Sorry, can I say that word?
I don't think you could say masturbating because Christians don't like masturbating either.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff done in private, even in a Christian enclave.
You know, the eighth defendant in our court case is somebody called Doctors for Life International, and they do the whole package. They do abortion, gay marriage, and drugs.
You guys,
together.
They're on your side.
No, we're the plaintiffs.
Remember, we're suing the government, so they're defending.
Yeah, no,
they're together
defending.
With the government. So, they've got the whole package.
What do they have a problem with? These Doctors for Life.
They have a problem with the fact that if you change your consciousness, then you are morally corrupt. I suppose
you can't be enslaved by religion.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, these guys also claim on their website that homosexuality is a curable disease. So these people are going to go to the High Court, and they're going to go to argue against us for the government as the medical fraternity helping the government to make decisions about.
It's outrageous.
It is an outrage.
But you know, our legal team have said to us this. 30% of people who are totally behind us, 30% of people who are maybe a little bit undecided, and 30% who are totally against us. And there is a point where you can't worry about those people that are totally against you, those real fundamentals. You know, you've just got
you're
to kind of.
Change them.
Well,
they're the same
whatever.
People who probably would like to bring back apartheid. They're
totally.
Probably, you know, they're those
death
kind of
penalty,
people.
All of that. Yeah.
Now, what about everyone's favorite argument that cannabis is a gateway drug to worse things?
Well, it is a gateway drug.
Okay.
We see it as a gateway to better health and more connection with yourself. The gateway theory has been debunked so many times. In fact, we make a joke about it. It's not a gateway. It's an exit. There are more people using cannabis in America to get over their opioid addictions than any other time in history. It's an analgesic. It's a painkiller. It chills you out. It's exactly the same as a Prozac, in effect. So people are getting off their prescription medications in America and using cannabis as an exit to those drugs. So we call it the gateway to better health.
Do you think that there are any arguments that make sense about how it could addle your brain and...
Oh, it does.
Bring on atrophy and...
Well, you know, sometimes it's good to forget stuff.
Yeah,
completely. But I mean, you guys don't seem to me to be low-functioning people. But,
no,
but
we must be anomalies out of the millions of people who use it.
Okay, so I've met some, like, heavy pot smokers, but they probably were that way before they started smoking pot as well in terms of their ability to kind of comprehend the world or care about it. But yeah. Do you think that there is a danger that some people slip into a state of kind of almost semi-vegetation where they kind of
become
absolutely. Now, there are some people who just shouldn't be using this stuff, yeah. and people make the mistake that our challenge is to make it compulsory for everyone to use the cannabis plant. They have an affront. You can't expect everybody to use cannabis. Well, we don't.
It's crazy.
What we're trying to do here is give everybody the freedom of choice to decide whether they want to use it or not without seeing the inside of a holding cell. That's it.
How many people get arrested for smoking weed, for possessing
weed? Are
you
ready for this?
Yeah.
1,000 people per day in South Africa.
You're joking.
We reckon there are 305 magistrates courts in the country, and every one of them have 3 DACA cases a day. That's the way. That's our really, really serious mathematics.
And
the only way we can do it.
What happens to these people?
Well,
most of them land up with a criminal record. And a criminal record is an insidious thing because it's there in the background lurking in your life, and it might not affect you at all if you're lucky, but one day you might decide, oh, you're going to go and teach English in Vietnam. Boom.
You can't.
Criminal
can't.
Record. One day you might decide, oh, you're going to go for that hotshot corporate job. Mm. Boom. Sorry, no job. You've
felony,
got a criminal record because when you were a student, you got caught with 0.3 of a gram.
Outrageous.
We can't even comprehend how many young people in South Africa are walking around with a criminal record they don't even know they've got. They were cacking themselves in the charge office in a police station, and the duty officer said, sign here, sign admission of guilt, $100, it's all over. So they do, and they think for their $100 they're free, $100 they're free to go. Mm-hmm. They are, but they got a 10-year suspended. Because the police, at that point, they need a statistic in the war on drugs. And that suspended sentence is a conviction. So people buckle under the pressure and the fear in a police office. And they just go, yeah, show me, where's the pen? And they sign this away. And they have no idea about the repercussions of it. So we have spent the last 2 years, 3 years, setting up systems to deal with those people. To nurture them through the process of being arrested and through the first appearance at a magistrate, and don't pick up that pen and don't sign a thing, because what are you guilty of, Gareth?
Nothing.
Right. Who did you hurt? Where is the victim in all of this?
Yeah. It's a victimless crime.
Sure.
And any victimless crime shouldn't really exist as a crime.
Yeah, no. Look,
it's so easy, you know, it's so easy. It breaks your heart. This guy's sitting in Durban on the beachfront waiting for his girlfriend who's a waitress to finish work. And he's sitting there and he's fiddling on his phone. He's got half an hour to wait. Boom, boom, the cops come and knock on his window. He says to him, listen, constitutionally, you're not allowed to search me. They wrench him out of his car. They find 0.3 of a gram in his car. You know, I mean, what is that about? The guy's not. He's sitting there watching the sea, waiting for his girlfriend to finish work. And I promise you, we hear that hundreds and hundreds of times a month.
But what
people
kind of,
minding their own business.
What's in it for the cops? Because
statistics
being hard on the war on drugs.
Because if they can get that conviction. They can get that conviction. It's a little tick on their book, and they need so many. The charge office, they will say in the morning, they have this meeting, just like in the movies.
Yeah.
Caledon Police Station, 8 o'clock in the morning. All the officers gathered. Station commander comes in and says, right, I want 7 DACA arrests today. And we know that because we've got an insider at the Caledon Police Station. I want 7 DACA arrests today. And I promise you, even in a small town like Caledon, if you go out, you go into the townships, you are going to get your 7 DACA arrests, guaranteed.
Well,
I mean, what else are unemployed people meant to do?
Right, yeah, well, you can say that for all substances. Most people hit some hard substances because of the hardness and the hardship of their lives. They don't do drugs for a laugh. They do drugs for the escapism. Imagine waking up in Mitchell's plane for the 457th time since you left school with absolutely no hope whatsoever of getting out of Mitchell's plane. Of course you're going to do a tick lolly and sit on the steps and dribble for the next 6 hours. There's nothing else for them to do.
There are people who believe that legalizing all these drugs is not... It doesn't make the situation better because alcohol is a legal drug. But yeah. We know that in this country particularly, we have major problems with...
Well, we do, but we don't have a major problem with suspended sentences for using that particular legal drug. Mm. I mean, if you go and crash through the back of 30 school children driving a mini when you're high on whatever it is, you deserve everything. But nobody really, really goes down for being completely drunk and disorderly. It's almost accepted in society that that's what will happen with that drug.
Now, keeping it illegal is not working. So,
no,
you know,
at all.
It's just not working. Bottom line,
we have to try. It's the only thing that nobody's tried yet is to legalize it across the board. Control it.
Mario Ambrosini, who died last year, he was the IFP MP, and he decided in his sort of he came to terms. A lot of MPs only suddenly find their conscience when they're faced with their own mortality or a threat to their own happiness, health, or security.
Indeed.
And to his credit, even though it probably took longer and he had to feel this himself to feel for other people, he decided he needed to start a war of his own against the prohibition of medical marijuana. And he made some headway. And it turns out that now all three of the major parties in Parliament are in favor of a decriminalization of the use of medical marijuana. Do you think this is going
to
happen in your lifetimes?
Oh, yeah.
The recreational?
Oh, completely.
Oh, yes.
I didn't used to, but now I'm absolutely convinced this is the precursor to the government realizing that my human rights are completely the same as a terminal patient's. They're using terminal patients as being the precursor to being soft on drugs, I would imagine. Mm. But at the moment, I'm going to go to jail for my use because I'm fit and well. So we've got this... We can tell on our feeds through all the social media that most people think there is good dacha and bad dacha. Mm. There's medical marijuana, which is good for you, and there's dacha, which isn't. But actually, the medical innovation bill that you talk about with Mario Ambrosini, there is no mention of the word cannabis in the bill. They call it cannabinoid medication. They're talking about manipulating the plant and extracting elements of the plant from it to give to cancer sufferers. That's not legal dacha. Well, that is manipulated laboratory product.
Like that sounds like a profit motive for
the
pharmaceutical
company. Oh, the whole
companies.
Thing is, and don't get us wrong, we are very positive about this move from 7 to 6, but we're under no illusion that there is a long way to go in our fight to have legal cannabis that helps every citizen in South Africa, not just a few rich, terminally ill patients somewhere in a clinic around the country.
Forget about it if you've got cancer and you live in Adutswa in the Eastern Cape. Forget about it. You know? It's, sure. You got breast cancer and you live in Morningside. Sure. You know? But the thing with Mario and we got quite close to him towards the end and the whole medical innovation bill, one of the last things that he ever said to us on a Skype conversation was, get cannabis out the medical innovation bill, because it became the cannabis bill. And actually, originally, when Mario and our advocate, Robin Strantham Ford, wrote that bill, it was written for all treatment for terminally ill patients, be it bicarb, be it vitamin C, be it whatever. You know,
stem cells, all that kind of thing.
The bill was written for all types of treatment to be accessible to terminally ill patients. But because cannabis is such a newsworthy topic, and everybody loves this plant so much, it's totally taken over the bill.
Yeah.
And now, since Mario died and Robin subsequently died as well, IFP...
You guys are left all alone.
Yeah, the IFP have valiantly carried on his work.
Can you choose someone younger next time to represent you?
They've watered it down.
And now it comes to this down to only cannabis and only this little thing. So that's also a bit sad because the politicians are using Mario's legacy to blow their own trumpet.
And
in the meantime, but that's not really Mario's legacy. It was for all treatments terminally ill.
This is driving me to drink. Okay, here's the problem. Like I can see no problem with you two and Mabali going up onto the roof just now and sitting there and just chilling, right? And I don't understand how everybody who isn't doing that is impacted negatively by this. I mean, you drive down the road, you've got fossil fuel, carbon emission, carbon monoxide shit that you're breathing in. There's filth all around it, people coughing on each other. There's Zika viruses flying around South America. There's all kinds of real issues. Yeah. And you're telling me our Department of Health is fixated on this one plant.
Yeah, imagine that. Just one plant. How many medicinal plants are there in South Africa? How many plants are in our garden that could actually kill you with a toxic dose? But they're not legislating anything to do with anything about it.
And where does this leave the Sangomas? You know, where does this leave the traditional healers in South Africa?
Yeah, they've been totally disenfranchised.
You're certainly not going to be able to go to your traditional healer and say, you know, your traditional healer's not going to be able to prescribe a Banky.
Because cannabis remains illegal under this bill. Cannabinoid medication is legal, which is an extraction of the plant, because in the hearings this week that ended up with this schedule change, the Department of Health said, of course, it's only scientists that can grow this cannabis. So they've completely made it clear that they want control of this industry.
Let's get down to the good stuff here. All right, what are the different strains, and what should we be attempting if we're a regular user and we want to really have the best experience?
Well, the best experience of what? Yeah, just grow your own. It won't be legal until I can grow whatever I grow in my back garden and do with it whatever I wish, whether it's a suppository or smoke it in a
bottle. There are different kinds, right?
There are different strengths and there are different combinations of the cannabinoids within the plant. A lot of people would say that there's two types of plant. One is a sativa, which gives you a head high, and one is an indica, which gives you a couch lock, and you can watch all six episodes of a miniseries without moving an inch. There are those two extremes, but most of the plants that we see on the street are a hybrid of all of these, and they've been schmangled up for two generations of hippies trying to blend them all together to get the most perfect high. Well, the most perfect high was probably 60 years ago before they started messing with it. But there are plants for different reasons. But in a prohibition landscape, we're lucky to get what we get. You know, some people get hold of us by email and say, I want this very specific medicine. It's called this, and you can get it in California, and it's for my fibromyalgia.
You're like, good luck.
But we go, well, have a nice day. You go to the disc chem and ask them. We can't. You get what you're given in a prohibition paradigm.
Okay, hang on. Let me just try and understand what you're saying here. So you speak of the cannabis oil. What's the word?
Cannabinoids. They are the alkaloids within the plant.
The cannabinoids that the scientists can extract. Yeah. And you said that is the stuff that is good for you.
Oh, yes.
But I mean the stuff that you buy at a random corner somewhere that's been laced with God knows what.
It could be laced with God knows what.
That stuff is not good for you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what they've laced it is not good with us, but good for us. But the plant itself is not bad for anybody. There's nothing toxic about any form of dacha in anything, whether it's a brick that's been stuffed into the back of a baki coming through the border at Swaziland for a couple of grand, or whether it's a 500 rand beautiful sticky bud from some hydro operation in Sandton. It's all the same. It's got the same cannabinoids. THC is THC, whether it's from skank or swag, you know?
Listen to this.
Sorry, would you like to know what skank or swag is?
Yeah, he would. He would.
Totally out of my depth.
Another term to also put into your dacha lexicon of terms is the entourage effect.
Yes.
What's that?
And one of our most esteemed expert witnesses who's coming out for the trial of the plant is a big proponent of this. That is the whole plant. This plant has been delivered to us as a whole plant.
Yeah.
You don't extract this and use this little bit of that. And yes, sure. Let's refine it and let's do the best we can. But ultimately, the best thing for you is whole plant medicine, not tampered with, extracted.
And then what about smoking the plant? Because there is that argument that, well, you know, if you smoke it, you're messing up your lungs, and how could that possibly be good for you? What would be the best way then to inject the cannabinoids?
There are different ways of ingesting it through your lungs. You can vaporize it to minimize the effects of all of the harmful smoke that you would put on your lungs. And basically, you know, after 30 years of using the plant, if all I'm going to get out of it is some sort of bronchial condition, I'll live with it. Thanks. It's the risk I'm going to take as a recreational cannabis user. A bit of bronchitis, that's all fine by me. But I don't need to go to jail for it.
This one's been coughing for like the last 2 weeks.
Well, we've got something for you for that.
it's Rob, proved to be a bronchodilator.
Rob from Amsterdam. Go ahead. Rob, hey, how are you, bro?
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, he sounds like he's in Amsterdam.
What's happening, Rob?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. How does it work over there? It's not illegal, is it?
What?
Weed.
Rob, come on.
No, dude. It's totally illegal, man. Like, I think Amsterdam is like the pioneering city in like what it's like to have legalized weed, man. It's just so chill, man. And you know what I hate the most, dude? Like, when I used to smoke weed and essay, you'll get these people who are like, oh, you smoke weed, but then they like have cigarettes and they'll have like a Diet Coke, eat McDonald's, and then like take like these weird medicines, bro, and they try and tell you that like that's what's fucking your life up, bro. And it's just like so crazy that they think that, dude. And it's just like, yeah, man.
The Dacha couple want to know how old you are. They might have actually made you once.
Exactly.
Sound pretty blazed there, dude.
Like, yeah, it can work, dude. It's like it's a functioning thing, dude. It's just like it's probably one of the best things I've ever seen. If you can control it properly and like just like, you know, have it where you take anything that's like hectic out of it, it's just a really good functioning thing, and it's awesome, bro. Right. It's the best thing ever.
Leave awake and bake, dude.
Yeah. All right. Listen, yeah, Rob, dude, we'll check in with you next week. Have a good weekend. All right.
Okay. Cool. Love my right. Time, bro.
Peace and love. Peace and love. There you
peace
go.
And There's love.
Rob. He's actually one of our regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is your son.
Sounds like he's a regular smoker. As well.
Is he your son?
There are people that say to us, oh, I wish you were our parents.
Oh, can you imagine? You're like the heretic parents.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you two, thank you very much again for your visit. It's always good to catch up with you. There's so many other questions, and people will want to talk to you again, so we'll get you in the new year.
Yeah.
Have a happy Christmas.
We've got a couple of gizmos for you here.
What you
just
got?
T-shirts to support the cause and stuff. Oh. We don't expect you to wear them being a non-smoker. You don't even walk around.
You just cleaned out your closet.
And you just cleaned out your closet. See, here's another one. There's a T-shirt with 50 different ways of saying the word Dacha in African dialects.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, thank you very much, the Dacha couple. How can we get hold of you guys if we want to find out more or help you?
Gosh, we're all over social media. I think the last time we put the word Dacha couple into Google, there was 180,000 responses, so you'll find us somewhere along
the line.
You'll get us. We're very, very out and apparent.
Julian Stubbs, Myrtle Clark, thank you very much for coming to see us, you two, and keep up your good work.
And you keep up the positivity because South Africa needs it.
Yeah,
they need you.
We need more personal liberties too, so I'm fighting the same fight as you.
Yeah, big right. Time.
Very good. There we go, everybody.
Thank you, Gareth.
The Dacha couple. And good news, even if it's a...
even if it's bad.
Even if it's a small amount of good news, it's better than nothing. We'll take what we can get with this government.
For
and
sure.
this is a very slight move forward. All right, here's what you need to know before we get out of here. Hillary Clinton, her supporters continue to push for a recount as they battle to deal with the reality of Trump becoming president. Hillary says she's over it, though. She has no interest in a recount. Since stepping away from political spotlights, she is feeling a lot less crooked and kind of likes it. In other news, Jacob Zuma has called for a Black Friday on the Treasury. He's offering plundering of state funds up to 80% today, but thankfully Pravin Gordhan is still in the job, so it's been halted. And finally, reports are circulating that Alistair Coetzee is about to be fired regardless of what happens against Wales. Knowing this, Alistair Coetzee seems to have just pulled a whole bunch of names out of a hat selection-wise. Interestingly, the team has an exciting look to it. So perhaps he should have used this strategy from the start. Have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday. Be good. And if you're not, take photos.
This is CliffCentral.com.